You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where if you see something, hide in a stall. I'm your host, Justin M. Lesneski, the hopeful bromantic, and I retroactively and proactively denounce anything anyone has ever said and ever will say on this show. Another name for this edition of the Midside could be the Under the Weather edition. My co-host is dealing with some nausea. I am also dealing with the tail end of really bad nasal congestion for about 4 days, where I alternated between NyQuil and Alka-Seltzer, things I don't usually do as a straight-edge person. Yes, you can take medicine and still be straight-edge. So if I sound a little Kermit-y, that's why. If my co-host disappears in the middle of the episode, that's why. We aren't that unprofessional here in the Midside. So let's bring my co-host in. Joining me this trip from his corner office, identifying as a woman to forgo his white male gay privilege, William Green.
Hello, hello. Yep, it's Zombie Jesus Day, Trans Day of Remembrance. Maybe that's why I'm nauseous. Too much religion.
Recognition?
Why should we recognize?
Isn't it Trans Day of Recognition?
I don't know. Is there a difference between the Remembrance Day and the Recognition Day?
Well, remembrance implies it's gone by. We have to accept trans now. We can't say it's a thing of the past.
Oh, man. Maybe I'm getting all my trans holidays. Let me get out my Rolodex, because there's about three. I think I saw a meme. There was like 130 LGBTQ plus IA holidays on the calendar. So I don't know.
Well, between that and all the different months, right? I mean, we have a month now for everything, right? So we started with Black History Month, right? Then we went into Women's Month in March. What's April? Is April anything? Because soon we go into AAPI Month, right? Which is Asian American Pacific Islander. And then after that, June is Pride. Well, Pride is all summer now at this point, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Well, I think Pride is basically all year long, but it's almost all summer. That's true.
Yeah.
So yes, there is a Transgender Awareness Week. There's International Transgender Day of Visibility, and then there's Transgender Day of Remembrance. So yes, I'm getting my transgender holidays mixed up. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Wait, is this the Day of Remembrance?
I don't know. I'm just telling you the different holidays.
As Commander in Chief, I was proud to have ended the ban on transgender Americans.
That's all I know. I'm sticking to it.
Oh, it's visibility. Sorry, it's not recognition, it's visibility. You got me screwed up because you're saying the remembrance. No, this is the International Transgender Day of Visibility.
Yes, apparently I'm mixing this up with the holiday that's on November 20th.
There is also a proclamation Biden made on the 29th of March about Transgender Day of Visibility. We honor the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans and reaffirm, I think that language was picked intentionally, our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union where all people are created equal and treated equally throughout their lives. Do you like the transition there?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to read this whole speech because I'm not going to repeat that. But we do have a story, a little bit of farce regarding a supposedly transgender person. And I think that's what we'll get into a little bit. I say supposedly intentionally, because I think that's really the crux of the story. But first, we have to talk about some Disney in Florida farce in Life on the Midside. Take a good look around. Does life really suck? Are we just complaining? I hope that this mic is on. Because I'm on a roll here. I hope this is making some sense. I hope that you'll throw up your hands and sing it and tell all the haters that they should just shut up and smile. As always, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so through Patreon or Locals. Patreon is per episode. Locals is per month. That's themidside.com/Patreon or themidside.com/Locals. We accept any and all support, including, and perhaps most of all, affirmations. All right, I like to call it the most magical farce on earth, William. We haven't had a bit for a while, but the great DeSantis-Disney battle forges on. And in this one, William, the reason I wanted to bring this in is, to me, this is all example of the slow creep of the growth of government. And what I mean by that is there was a story published by the Orlando Sentinel this week. It's Disney Florida settled lawsuits over tourism district. Now, the key thing here, William, is this is the state lawsuits. This is not the federal lawsuit. So the federal lawsuit still exists. But essentially, Disney and Florida have said, hey, we're going to stop arguing and we're going to go back to the drawing board over this tourism oversight district that has been created over the previous Reedy Creek Improvement District that Disney had full control over. Now, there's a couple of things, William. One, legally, this is impenetrable to me. And I think that it being impenetrable to the average person is kind of an important thing to point out. Because nobody really knows what's going on here except for the lawyers for the state of Florida and Disney. But also, this isn't a return to the Reedy Creek Improvement District. DeSantis' board, the Tourism Oversight Board, is fully installed now. So now anything Disney does, where they were previously, essentially they had a free market in Reedy Creek, in that district, now Disney has to go through government oversight. Even if they somehow, William, get it to where the oversight board is really just like a perfunctory formality, aren't they still having to get the government's permission to do things? And isn't that a loss for freedom?
I think so. I think the parks in Orlando, I think Disney is trying to get out of the trouble of this and not really taking any sort of principled stand on this. They're just trying to make the troubles go away because I think they're going to be in trouble in the next couple of years. Right now, the parks are the only thing making them money, supposedly. They're using Hollywood accounting tricks everywhere else. But Justin, isn't Universal really in Ascension down there? They're getting assaulted not just bodily by the government, but they've got some stiff competition coming up with the new Universal stuff coming out in the next couple of years, right?
Well, that's the theory with Universal's opening a third park, theme park. They have three parks. They have a water park as well. But they have Universal Studios, Islands of Adventure, and now they're going to open Epic Universe. And the theory is that that's going to hurt Disney big time, and they're going to need to make major changes because of that. And there are many rumored changes for Disney, and that's some of the speculation that's going on here. Is, I guess, DeSantis came out and made a statement about how Disney is a major, economic growth driver in the state, and that they offer many jobs. And with Universal opening up their park, I'm paraphrasing here, that Disney will be motivated to perhaps open a fifth park on their part. So I think part of it is also, you know, DeSantis was doing all of this to preen for the Trump side of his base. And now he's, as the governor, because he's no longer running for president, is backing off because Disney is what made Florida, at least Central Florida, what it is. Yeah. So if he doesn't support it, he's not really doing his job, especially with what he says he stands for, someone who, you know, came up through the Federalist Society, which is more of a strict interpretation of the Constitution, letter of the law, originalist of the Constitution.
Yeah. Well, I think we said this when this whole thing started, that this was a whole lot of no-win situations going on. And you're right. I don't think anyone really understands what's going on. I know there's a YouTuber that I follow that tries to break it down. He's steeped in Florida law, and he was calling bullshit on all the lawyers who didn't understand Florida law, because this is kind of a more obscure, well, not really obscure, but more people who don't know Florida law aren't going to know how this stuff works. So it's very unique to Florida, being kind of a mix of influences, and it's sort of common law. So yeah, it was interesting.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's another example of the dissent on the other side, the falling action on the other side of peak woke, right? Where DeSantis fighting this battle was at the peak of woke, Florida tried to pass the, or they did pass the Parental Rights in Education Bill, which all the woke people labeled that the Don't Say Gay bill, and then the woke people who work for Disney got really upset at Florida over that, and this battle ensued because of that. Well, now we're seeing how the repercussions over this, William, and this is kind of a question in general, is how do you ever fight a cultural battle without growing government? Where now we're on the other side of this, and because there was a battle over this, government has grown. So ultimately, maybe we won't be so woke with Disney anymore, because, you know, they saw what happened with Strange World and all of the other movies. Like, Marvel is invoking Deadpool, which is anti-woke, right? But we still have to deal with the effects, which is growth of government.
Yeah. Yeah, this is this is when we have to point out that's what the Midside is about here, right? We will find the problems and witnessing the farce on the culture wherever it's coming from. And you're absolutely right. This is why the Republicans are no alternative in general to the Democrats, is because they both want to grow government. They both actually grow government. Let me put it that way, because that's just undeniable fact. So.
Right, and I think the next story, which goes right to the issue of transgenderism, sort of asks us to provide a non-governmental solution. And I think the only solution at that point is, you know, stop supporting companies like this. And this is sort of on the other side of peak woke as well, where people are fighting back. So there was a kerfuffle in Planet Fitness this past week, and I honestly don't know. Ironically, William, I pulled out many facts about this case, but do you know what Planet Fitness this was in?
No, I didn't. I didn't look. Doesn't matter. It's got to be California or Florida, right?
No, I mean, I would assume so, but it doesn't really matter. This is Planet Fitness's whole brand. Remember when I quit Planet Fitness during the pandemic or right after the pandemic? Yeah. Because I walked 3 feet from one machine and they tried to tell me to put my mask back on. I went from the bicep machine to the tricep machine and they were like, you need to put your mask on. I said, I took 2 steps to the right. They're like, you still need to put your mask on. And they have the whole thing where, like, their dumbbells don't go over 60 pounds. And if you, like, drop your dumbbells, they sound an alarm. So this is kind of their whole thing, right? That everyone is welcome. But it's created a problem where a woman named Patricia Silver unleashed a firestorm after she confronted an unidentified gym goer about shaving his face in the woman's locker room. The video went viral and has been blamed for Planet Fitness's value plunging by more than $400 million and calls to boycott the popular chain. So she photographed a transgender customer shaving in the women's locker room, claiming the gym had, and then, so that's basically what originally happened. Now, this has deepened, all right? So first of all, let me back up. My notes are a little all over the place. She saw this guy in there shaving. He wasn't doing anything threatening, but she said, quote, we had a man full of shaving cream on his face in the middle of the locker room. She confronted him, and he said he was transitioning, that he was LGBTQ and transitioning. She posted the video. Everything went crazy online. Then, she claims, Planet Fitness is now assigning a staffer to accompany the person in the ladies-only area. So, Patricia claims, my friend said to his accompanied Planet Fitness rep that he needs to leave. In response, the Planet Fitness rep said, the woman told my friend that if you are uncomfortable, you can go into a stall. So, let me get this straight, William. If I claim I am a woman, and I go in a woman's bathroom, I can have the majority of the space. They have to go into the smaller space. Is that what I'm reading here, according to Planet Fitness?
I guess so. But Justin, I'm still trying to confirm this location. If I'm reading this right, this was the Planet Fitness in Fairbanks, Alaska? Or this coach posted the post from Fairbanks, Alaska? I'm not sure which. But that's crazy. And also, Justin, you know that they canceled her membership for taking a video in the locker room, which, hey, you're not breaking the rules, right? I'm okay for that.
I mean, that technically is against the rules, and you can understand like why in any gym that would be against the rules.
I'm okay with that. However, it's what I've seen a picture on the news article. Yeah, I think you can just go in there now. I don't think there's anyone that can stop you.
I mean, that's a man.
Yeah, it's 100%.
If you see the picture, that's a man.
Yeah. It's 100% a man.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, that has always been my question about all this, right? And I think we're finally seeing other people push back against this publicly, which is a good thing. Because my question is, how do you authenticate someone being trans? And what I mean by that is, when we were growing up, there was always cross-dressers, right? And we had the term trannies and transsexuals.
Yeah, transsexuals.
And I'm not going to get into
the differences,
what's offensive
and
what isn't.
I always tell the story. I'm sure we got some new listeners. There was the in the gay bars at Baltimore, we had a very lovely he would have called himself a transsexual. Always had the prettiest dress on, but complete facial hair, makeup. You could definitely tell it was a man. He wasn't trying to hide the fact that he was a man. But beautiful dress. Always wearing a beautiful dress. He was transsexual. I don't, there was, that's easy to verify, by looking at them and by what they say. But Justin, we live in a self-identifying culture, so I can just walk around and say anything I want, right?
Well, right. And that's the danger, right? Because even when you're talking about that person, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't that just a man who was wearing makeup and a dress? Which, hey, if you want to do that, whatever, man. Like, that's your right, right? But does that make you not a man? And the question then becomes for me, right? How do we confirm if you say, I'm no longer a man, that you are actually no longer a man? Because to me, there's a difference between a man who is still into women and wants to put on a dress and makeup, and a man who's actively trying to alter his physicality and biochemistry to be more like a biological female. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that something where should we make it so we have to require them to have some sort of a doctor's note or medical license, sort of like, and I know this might be controversial, but remember when they were talking about having a vaccine passport? Yeah. Should there be some sort of transgender passport?
There already is, Justin. There already is. Do you have one of the black taking over rainbow flag? You know, the arrow rainbow flag? If you have that tattooed somewhere on your body or a patch on your jacket, then you're clearly allowed to do anything you want. Anything you want. That is the sign. Instead of the yellow triangle, we have the new communist gay pride flag. If you wear that, then you can go into women's bathrooms. You can. It's basically a narcissist attractor, right? A histrionic attractor. You can get away with anything by doing that.
Right, and that's the real story here, right? It's not about what makes someone transgender, what's legitimate, what isn't, right? I mean, do what you want with your body, act how you want, go where you want. However, where is the intersection between social respect and government intervention? And what you're talking about, William, right now is in a situation in which there is no government oversight, people are taking advantage of social pressure in order to do things that are harmful to other people. Or threatening to other people, or uncomfortable for other people, even when it may not be in the best interest of, say, a business, right? I don't see how in Planet Fitness this is necessarily in their best interest. Or companies are rebranding to support the social pressure. However, what is the alternative? To say government needs to make regulations? No. Well, then
I think you fight social pressure with social pressure, with reason and social pressure, and in this case, economic pressure. I mean, like you said, you just don't go to Planet Fitness. Planet Fitness doesn't sound like a place that women in particular should go. And that's unfortunate because that's their main market. right? So if they're going to let men into the women's, here's what's going to happen. If they're going to consistently do this, if all you literally have to do is just say, I'm transitioning and I'm queer, and here's my gay pride flag, then guess what? Women are going to stop going to the gym. And they're going to find other gyms. They're going to find women. They're going to find gyms that have more respect. Oh, and what you're going to see, Justin, is Planet Fitness is going to probably have to invest millions of dollars into getting more stalls and making basically, you know, the whole reason we have locker rooms is it's more space efficient, right? Maybe we'll just have all changing rooms. It'll be like the old J.C. Penney's, right? We'll just have tons of changing rooms for people to be in the locker room.
Well, and that's ultimately probably what will end up happening, William. And that's tough for me because when I go, like, I've been to restaurants and bars where they only have stalls that are for both genders, and they're single person stalls.
It's grossly inefficient.
And I don't, well, correct. So you have the same reaction I do. I walk like around a corner in a restaurant like that, and I see that and I go, this is so inefficient, especially because, and maybe this is my male privilege talking, but why does everybody have to wait the same amount of time? You get what I mean? If we've designed devices for men, urinals, where we can go more quickly, why do we lose that opportunity because there are people willing to take advantage of this whole idea of transgender?
I am still privileged in some way.
Yeah, that's penis privilege right there.
And that's what someone would say to me is that, oh, this is just two white men complaining about their privilege being taken away, right? But, I mean, that's the whole difficulty. Like, every organization should be able to set whatever policy they want. And the unfortunate thing here is, right, the backlash, right, saying this caused a firestorm, right? And how this becomes such a heated issue online. A company has every right to say, no, we're going to do this. And a woman has every right to say, I don't want to go here and I think you should boycott this place, without this becoming like a huge issue everyone's getting angry about.
Well, I agree. I think it's okay to be angry. I think it's a different thing to say government should fix it. And Justin, you know, when they came and got, when they came for all of the male only spaces and we had to let women into all male-only spaces. And now we're having the same thing happen, except for now it's all women-only spaces. Now we have to let the men into all the women-only spaces. We just have to get back to understanding that, you know, it's okay. It's okay to have exclusive spaces for men or for women. It's okay to do that. There are times where that is rational and good and all that other stuff. And I don't know that we'll ever get back there, but Maybe in our post-woke era, we'll be able to fight for women's spaces, but I give up all hope for men's spaces.
Or government's going to do what a parent does with little kids. If neither of you could share the ball, nobody gets a ball. Yeah. So just there are no such thing as public restrooms anymore. You can only go to the bathroom in your own house.
Yeah. Or the streets of San Francisco.
Yeah, that's true. Or that's, you're right. San Francisco is, to borrow from the show Community, streets ahead. In the future, in the post-work world, we're all just going to take shits on the sidewalk. Ah, they really are progressive. We should have listened to San Francisco from the beginning. We'll talk about another progressive state. Insanity came out of Illinois this week. William, I don't think I've been this disgusted by the, I don't even know how to say it, the immoral, inefficient application of one of the legitimate purposes of government than I have since Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. Remember how mad I got on the podcast because the guy who committed Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, that school shooting, had been shown to the FBI multiple times and they just dismissed it. Like, he was in the system and he was on the radar and nothing was done. And that showed how much of a failure the system was. This is another example, okay? So The chair of the Illinois Prisoner Review Board and a board member have resigned over backlash for granting the release of a man who fatally stabbed his ex-girlfriend's young son less than 24 hours after he was freed. Board Chair Donald Shelter and board member Leanne Miller stepped down on Monday in the wake of 11-year-old Jaden Perkins' murder on March 13th. Perkins was allegedly stabbed in the chest by the recently released man. Crosetti, I think is how you say the mother's name, Brand. Oh, no, sorry, that's the guy's name. Crosetti Brand allegedly ambushed Jaden and his mother, Letteria Smith, in the doorway of their Edgewater residence less than 24 hours after he was granted parole from the Stateville Correctional Center, the local Chicago station reported. Smith, 33, was stabbed in the neck but survived the attack. So, William, before I get into the other details that make this even worse, how incompetent do you have to be at granting parole? What standards are you using? Because I could find nowhere in any article about what they used to rationalize releasing this prisoner. Because how incompetent do you have to be at your job if you release a prisoner and he murders someone less than 24 hours after you grant him parole?
Yeah, it's
isn't that a gross, and when I mean gross, I mean both meanings of it.
That
failure at your job?
Yeah, the whole point of incarceration is to keep people who will reoffend away from us, right? And this is, especially given the particulars, which we'll get into in a second, it makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. Like the problem would, how would the problem have improved? Like, we don't know what evidence was given or anything else, but like, you can't imagine any evidence being given.
Any evidence, any reasoning. So other information here. So a month before Brand was released, Smith, who was pregnant and his ex-girlfriend, begged for an order of protection against him. Also, why was he in jail to begin with? He was in jail for 16 years behind bars for home invasion and aggravated assault. So, William, immediately, what did he do? Break into someone's home and assault them, right? And then he was first paroled last October. And then he was reasserted in February after he threatened a female via text, police said. And another article we found said he tried to break into Smith's home a few weeks before that. So I don't understand. So there's a couple of things here, right? First of all, I don't understand. It's just, how do we get to this point? And also, begging for an order of protection. Do you see, William, our over-reliance on government here? Look, is an order of protection really going to do something against a person like this?
I don't think so. I think that wouldn't have helped in this case.
I don't think so either. How could this have been averted? Is there any way for this to be averted? Is this just a reasonable failure of the system? Or is there something else going on here?
I don't know. I feel like there's got to be some more to this. Like, what was this parole hearing even like? What was presented? I have no idea.
I mean, I hate to invoke this because it makes us sound cliche, but is this the post-woke, the falling action of we had to be more sympathetic to black inmates?
Maybe.
Black criminals?
If the only evidence presented at his parole hearing is that he was black, then I don't know.
I don't know, and that's the thing, right? We need more information. And what I mean by that is stories like this are very sensational, and I think sort of like in the woke era, in the internet social media era, everyone loves to click on these things, but no one goes beneath the surface. And we go beneath the surface and we don't have the actual information. And this makes for a great story for people to get upset about, right? Just like the last one. The last one makes for a great story for people to get upset about. Now, the previous one, we've talked about ad nauseum, those sort of issues, so we can sort of get to the heart of it, right? But this one, what is the heart of this? I mean, I think you agree with me that one of the legitimate purposes of government is to protect people. However, is this an argument for privatizing police and the penal system?
Absolutely not. And here's why I say that. I think that if we want to see the absence of government where everyone is armed themselves, we can point at places all over Africa where they're in South America where governments have failed, where there's no state, and it's just that is the state of anarchy. And I think that what it does say is that we have to rely on ourselves for protection. That's the kernel of truth, I think, that is in there. And if you're in a situation like this, there should be more opportunities for you to protect yourself. But something tells me that, you know, in this case, she wasn't able to protect herself, right? She probably wasn't allowed to own guns in where they are, right? This is I'm assuming this is outside of Chicago. So I don't think there's a lot of opportunity for protecting yourself or hiring protection. And I don't think it would fix the situation in this case. I think this is really this is us having a parole system that is disinterested in the actual job that it of keeping the public safe, and is overly interested in minimizing the number of people incarcerated of particular skin colors and political persuasions. And I think that when we zoom out even from that, it's from a government that's not interested in doing its job. Justin, we have less judges than we need in the court system. There's less police than we need. We have way too much military, but none of them are actual. They're all bureaucrats. It's all military bureaucrats. It's not actual soldiers. And those are the legitimate parts of government. And instead, what we have is tons and tons of bureaucracy and influence of and peddling of political power. If we took all the money we're spending on bullshit and instead focused on making a good parole system with good defense attorneys and good prosecutors, I don't think this would happen. But our focus is not on those things. Our focus is on whether the government should ban men from the bathrooms in Planet Fitness, in the women's bathrooms in Planet Fitness.
Well, it's interesting, a lot of what you said, because two of the things you say really coalesce into our next story, I think. And the first thing is protecting yourself, right? And there's the whole idea of learned helplessness, right? And then there's one, the argument that a patriarchal society makes women have learned helplessness, which is something the sort of social justice side has been arguing, right? That women have that learned helplessness because of that.
I don't think it's because of the patriarchy. I think it's probably the opposite, right? You're supposed to look to daddy government under the current progressive feminist ideals, and it didn't work out for this woman, right?
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. Is it's actually learned helplessness for everyone because she had nowhere to turn to help protect her.
Yeah,
right. I mean, was there not a brother in the situation? Was there not a father in the situation? Were there no other male friends or relatives in the situation that could have helped her? Why could she have not done it herself? I mean, women can't use guns.
Where's the churches? Where's the women's shelter? Where's the feminist groups? Where's the domestic abuse center? All these things that people, there are, I, this is not to victim blame, right? This is just be clear that, yeah, that's no, not what we're saying. We're just saying these things have a job to do and they're not doing them, right? It's the opposite of victim blame. And we're saying, where were the things that were supposed to do this job? They are there. Why aren't they doing them?
Where was everybody? Where was everybody? That's the tragedy here, right? Where was everybody? That's our point. This is not her fault at all. She, in fact, tried to use the system.
Yeah, she tried to use what resources she had available. Absolutely.
No, exactly.
And the real
victim
here is the kid. Let's not forget that.
Right. Right. That's the greatest tragedy of all. But that, again, all of that goes into the next story where you talk about focusing on the wrong bullshit and hurting the kids. You shared a video on X, formerly known as Twitter, because that's what we have to call it from now on, right? From the BART system in San Francisco. William, I've always wondered, is BART an acronym?
Bay Area Rapid Transit.
Okay.
Some say retarded transit.
That makes sense.
But that's...
Wow. And never mind. I was going to say something mean. I'm already going to be mean. So this is a video. It says, did you know you can ask any station agent for BART's free bystander intervention cards, which you can use if you're experiencing or witnessing harassment in stations and trains. Here's how they work. And there's a video here. In this video, I'm just looking at the still right now. We're going to play it in a second.
Yeah.
Because you actually have to hear this to understand the full farce of this story. But I'm going to describe it first. Right, I'm going to go for low-hanging fruit right now. I don't usually do this on this show. Right, I don't usually do this in general because I don't think like this is the right way to handle things. But this is actually related because I do think that there is something being done to the youth that's causing this to happen. So this video says not one more girl on it. Bystander intervention cards. Ask for the BART bystander intervention cards. And it's two girls. They got to be college girls. Holding like a handheld microphone. Yeah. Like it's like
it's a
lav mic.
Except that
they're holding. And this is like a trope of the social media age. So this is a government agency trying to replicate influencer behavior, right? Influencer culture, the way they do these things. But here's the thing, man. First of all, the first thing I want to say is, if you are worried about being attacked on a subway, why are you wearing Beats headphones? Those are reasonably expensive, are they not?
Yeah.
But kids nowadays, dude, William, why do people have to have headphones everywhere? Why is it wherever I go nowadays, there are people who need to, quote unquote, need to wear headphones because of sensory overload? Is everyone autistic nowadays?
I don't know. I'm guilty of this, man. There's certain places that I go, if I'm walking around San Francisco, I don't do it that often, but I'm definitely got my headphones on. They are not on, where it blocks out the sound. I'm actually got it on transparent. I just don't want the homeless people to talk to me.
Well, right. And that's part of the problem too. So in a city like San Francisco, I have more understanding of that, right? So that's the first thing. But here's the second thing. William, you know how I usually say, like, most people aren't ugly?
Yeah.
Like, the majority of people just don't try.
Do we have two
examples
here?
There are two girls in this video. No, we don't. One of these girls is, like, 5.5, 6, right? Out of 10, right? She's, like, this little brunette girl, right? She's average, right? You could see if she put in a little bit of work, she could probably be attractive. But I'm sorry, dude, this girl in the green sweatshirt, especially when she starts moving, like, she is ugly. So then I also ask both of these girls, like this average-looking girl and this, like, ugly-looking girl, why do you think people are going to bother you? Why are you so noticeable? Why are you this important? There's this idea that if you're a woman and you go out in public, you know, we've dealt with this before with all the years ago with the catcalling videos and everything. Why is it every woman thinks, oh, if I go out in public, I'm going to be the center of attention and men are going to harass me?
I'm waiting for men to harass me, Justin. Someday.
Do you understand what I'm talking about with the narcissism?
Yeah.
All right.
Are we going to play this?
So now I think we need to play this so you can hear just how awkward this is.
All right.
Hello, we're two college students who are BART riders. And safety is really important to us, so we're going to go ask for the bystander intervention cards.
Hello, excuse me, would we be able to have some bystander intervention cards, please?
Yeah, sure, hang on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So this card over here is for when you're being harassed. It says, you got me. So you'd hand it to somebody else, and it gives them instructions on how they can help you.
If you see someone being harassed, you can also give them this I got you card, which gives them instructions on the back to find the BART police or call someone or more instructions on how to be safe.
I really appreciate these cards because they gave me a concrete way to deal with an unsafe situation. I'm not very equipped to deal with them on my own, and so these cards give me a sense of community and a sense of support.
Especially for young college students and for youth, I think these cards are really accessible. It just gives a very easy way to either help someone or to ask for help without having to do much. If everyone has one, then we'll just be able to support each other so much better and feel safer.
William, there's so many that we could pull out for drops.
So many buzzwords. There's so many buzzwords, right?
But did you hear her? Without having to do much.
I don't need to actually learn to protect myself or be situationally aware or learn how to handle drunk people or even like just deal with, you know, getting up and moving if a situation is bad, or even finding the police myself, or even dialing my own phone, right? Or anything. I'm just going to hand this card to someone else and have it be someone else's problem.
Well, and it's even worse than that. Did you hear her say that if somebody else sees you're being harassed, they can just hand you a card that says, I got you? Like, they don't even have to do anything. Look, first of all, is this Pokemon? Like, could you just play a card like Magic the Gathering? Like, it's super effective if you play this card. And they have to back off because you played the card. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But she said, this gives me a concrete way of dealing with harm.
Harassment as harm.
William, you already named a couple.
Harassment as harm.
Well, first, that's the second. I'm not even addressing that. Let's say somebody's legitimately threatening you. You don't know how to protect yourself physically. You can't walk away. You can't throw a punch. Or you don't know any concrete ways. The concrete ways are handing a card to someone that says, help me. And that's why I was bringing up the way these girls look and act. Like, you can hear the awkwardness in their voices. And my point is,
what are we doing to the kids?
They're not.
Did we get from 80s, cheesy 80s self-protection videos, you know, where they're wearing the full body like pads and teaching women to kick men in the groin, to now I'm going to hand someone else a card when I feel harassed? We've come a long way. Is this progress?
I guess it's progress. But that's the thing, right? Like, they say it's progress because it's a more nonviolent, less toxically
masculine
society.
Words are violence, though,
right?
Words are violence.
Right. And that's the real story here, is what's being done to the kids, right? I mean, my assertion is the reason these girls are the way they are and they're so awkward in this video is they've been taught the learned helplessness we've been talking about. Rather than taking care of themselves, and I don't even mean that on a physical level of being attacked. You have to learn how to take care of yourself and be self-responsible. Wasn't that something you were sold as part of the bill of goods as going to college? Is you had to learn how to do all that stuff for yourself.
Yeah. And instead we're gonna hand out a card. Instead of learning how to navigate the world and how to be vigilant, how to be safe. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy that, first of all, think of it from BART's perspective. They're seeing what's going on over in New York City. I'm sure it's not quite as bad at BART. On the BART versus the New York subway. But their preemptive solution is to pass out cards to people. And Justin, can you imagine if you were, first of all, let's make it me since I'm identifying as a woman today. Can you imagine me sitting on the BART and having a conversation with someone and then some third party passes me the I got you card? You think that these two socially awkward girls are ever going to pass out the I got you card?
Yeah. I mean, and the person who does is going to be presumptuous about the dynamic.
Exactly.
I mean, imagine you're sitting there with like your significant other and you have a certain type of way you communicate and someone takes what you say. Like, for instance, they take what the boyfriend says to the girlfriend as harassment and then hands the I got you card to the girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't this just like Reddit comments in card form? Where have you ever seen like them give relationship advice on Reddit where every relationship is, oh, he's an abuser, break up with him? That's every piece of advice to
also
everything
Justin,
that's given.
Also, Justin, isn't this just a boomer technique? And what I mean by that is, wouldn't someone, and we already know what people actually do in these situations when they are of this kind of helpless persuasion, they just grab their phone and take a video and put it on their Snapchat or Instagram. So why would they grab into their pocket and pull out a card when they're just going to pull up their Snapchat and or their Instagram or their Twitter and complain, right? I'm being harassed.
Well, that's the part we have to be serious about. Are these cards actually going to be used or be effective, or is this just San Francisco making themselves feel good?
I'm going to go get some next time I'm in San Francisco. You know, it's not very often, but you better believe I'm going to get some of these cards. I'm going to be passing them out everywhere. I got you. It'll be my new pickup. I'll write my phone number instead of the BART phone number.
That's the other thing, dude. Do they not realize that they basically did a creepy pickup as a protection mechanism against creepy pickups?
I'm going to make fake ones with my phone number, and it's going to be great.
Jesus. I got you. Dude, it also sounds like you're captured. Like, I got you, right?
It's a Pokeball capture. Like, you're right.
Couldn't this be like a horror villain's calling card, literally? Like, they give you the card, I got you, and then later you get kidnapped and killed?
The movie writes itself.
It's just so weird that people think they can change something. And I know everything is contextual, but like how if they do it, it's not creepy, but if somebody else does it, it is creepy.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Isn't this harassment, like, you said earlier, right? If they're feeling harassed, they put the responsibility on somebody else to defend them,
well, not
them,
to defend them, to alert the authorities, I guess, right? The implication is defend them, right? But it's oh, yeah, here, call BART for me. Call the BART police for me.
Isn't that harassment?
Yeah.
Aren't you harassing me? Like, if you feel uncomfortable,
and you run up to someone
and you're saying,
else.
I have
you
to do something because you feel uncomfortable. That's harassment, isn't it?
Yep. I don't know. I don't.
Because how do I know? Look, dude, I work around teenagers. You know that, right? I teach. Do you know how many times they feel uncomfortable? And I'm just like, yeah, I get why you feel uncomfortable, but like, do you really think that's something that something needs to be done, or is that something you need to learn how to deal with properly? Because guess what? When you're growing up and you're in new situations, guess what you feel? Uncomfortable. That's life. If there's one thing I've learned is the biggest advantage of getting older, William, and tell me if you disagree, it's that the older you get, the less anxiety there is because the less discomfort you feel in novel situations.
Yeah. Yeah. You've been in similar situations. You have things, you have context to compare things to. That's what life experience gives you.
So stop harassing me with your anti-harassment policy. All right, that concludes the farce for this week. Let's talk about some art in The Hopeful Bromantic with JML.
Put me into syndication, broadcast to a network station of people viewing their favorite episodes. I can't find a new pitch to throw the studio. I need a rerun to better cast the next series of events in the air.
As always, if you'd like to continue the conversation with us during the week, you can do so by joining our Discord channel. Just go to themidside.com or themidside.com/podcast. Click on any episode link, and in there you will see a join code for our Discord. Please join, participate, watch the trailers. I usually put them in there the Saturday before we record or the Saturday we do record. And you can also share farce with us. Tell us what you thought about the episode. If you're a new listener, reach out. We love to hear from new listeners. Help us find farce to witness. And tell us what you find farcical. We're not the only ones who can witness farce, even though we may be the experts at it. Speaking of witnessing farce, William, my wife decided she wanted to watch the Roadhouse remake.
Was she attracted by the abs? Too many abs? She had to go see it?
I don't know. If she had told me that, at least I would have said so. First of all, thankfully, it wasn't in theaters. It was on Amazon Prime. Yeah. Remember, they had that whole kerfuffle. And that's the second time I used kerfuffle this episode, where the director was complaining because he said he thought it was going to be in theaters, and Amazon said they never promised it to be in theaters.
Yeah. I don't know that this was theater-worthy, but we'll find out during your review.
No, it wasn't anything worthy. I mean, I'll skip right to that. But some more backstory first. So first, I was like, look, have you ever seen the original Roadhouse? She's like, there's an original Roadhouse.
Oh, my God.
I was like, how dare you? How dare you? And then you know what I showed her before I showed her anything? The Family Guy skit about Roadhouse. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know if I've seen that one. I'll have to look it up.
You haven't seen it? Where Peter Griffin goes around and kicks people with a roundhouse kick and then goes
Roadhouse. Oh, yeah. Okay, I have seen that, yeah.
All right. Okay. So I showed her that first, and she's like, what's this from? I said, okay, well, if we're going to watch the Roadhouse remake, we have to watch the original Roadhouse first. Okay? And William, this is where you are going to disagree with me, because you said it pre-show.
I did, and I'm going to stand by it.
I love the original Roadhouse. Okay, well, we're talking about 80s action movies. Look, it's not a Die Hard.
It's no Karate Kid.
The greatest action movie of all time. I was never a fan of the Karate
Kid. See, this is where we disagree. I'm not saying Roadhouse is a bad movie. I'm just saying I put Karate Kid ahead of it, and you put it ahead of Karate Kid. So that's where we disagree. It's subtle.
Correct. And here's the reason why. Look, I will agree with you. The ending of Karate Kid is better than the ending of Roadhouse. Roadhouse fizzles out with its ending. Like, it just ends in, like, this big fight where, like, people die, right? It just goes ridiculous. But the reason I like Roadhouse better is I love the concept of the main character, where Dalton is this guy who he can beat anybody up, right? And he can win any fight. But he doesn't, because he also has an intellectual side to him. So he strategically approaches situations in order to defuse them so there doesn't have to be fighting. And he's able to do both.
Let me guess. He takes a card from the BART and hands it to them.
That's exactly what he does. No, but he does operate on the principle of be nice until you don't have to be nice. Which I think, like, dude, if we had that principle in our society, how much better would our society be right now? Because everybody has the principle right now of you can't be nice because nobody's going to be nice to you, right? So this bar is looking to improve itself because it has terrible patronage. And they hire him because he's a cooler. A cooler is basically the one who runs all the bouncers in a bar in order to make sure they're doing their job properly and the place is run properly. And I love that Dalton gets brought in, and not only does he become the cooler for the bar, but he becomes the cooler for the entire town. And then there's this whole thing about his personality and how he went too far at a previous town. Sort of like if you ever saw the rundown with The Rock, where he doesn't like guns. And then you find out the reason he doesn't like guns at the end of the movie is because he's really, really good with them. And then when he uses the guns at the end of the movie, it's this huge, like, he destroys everyone. Well, it's sort of the same thing here. And I don't know. I just love that character, and I love the way Patrick Swayze portrays it, and the scenes of him cleaning up the bar and the immoral behavior and these people. They're all 80s stereotypes, but if you had taken that idea and you had updated it, you could have done a really great mind and body approach to this premise. The idea that we're going to bring this guy in to clean up this bar and lead the other bouncers because we know how great he is of a cooler, and here are all the immoral people that are around, and how do you fight immorality properly, and when's the point where non-initiation of force ends and you have to use force in order to end a problem. And that's, to me, what the first Roadhouse was. Is it a great movie in the sense that it does it perfectly and it ends well? No. But the setup and the premise is so tremendous, especially even with his asceticism, with the way he lives, right? He lives in this barn where he doesn't really have many physical possessions, right? There's just so much great stuff about it. Now the remake. Here is my one-sentence review on Letterboxd. This movie is what happens when you remake a movie by taking its trappings, but not its theme. So immediately, it was late at night, but immediately after we watched it, the first one, I said, okay, let's start the second one. We got about 20 minutes in and I was done. Now, we did go back and finish it the next day. However, I just wanted to go to bed because literally, the first movie is the guy finds him and says, hey, you're the best cooler in the business. Can you come and help me fix my bar because I have big plans for it? This one is this woman goes to a bar to find somebody, sees the way Dalton handles bar fights, realizes he's an ex-UFC fighter, and says, you know what? I'm going to hire you instead to come be a bouncer at my bar. William, do you see how that's completely changing the premise?
Yeah.
Is that even the same premise anymore?
No. And that obviously has some implications for the theme. What's the theme they're even trying for?
So they do a similar thing, right? So like I told you, the whole thing was about how the town was corrupt because there was this rich guy who came in and controlled everyone, essentially. Well, this one is set in the Florida Keys, and somebody's trying to buy the roadhouse in order to turn it into a resort. Sort of like if you think of like the Bahamas, where they put all these giant resorts on the Bahamas. Somebody's trying to do that. A rich guy's trying to do that in the Florida Keys. So it's the same thing. Except the major selling point of this movie is... crap, I forgot his name. The UFC fighter who's Irish.
Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor is in this, and he's just playing a completely unhinged guy.
So himself.
So you have Jake Gyllenhaal, right. You have Jake Gyllenhaal playing, or not playing. Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal playing a UFC fighter who fights Conor McGregor. And that's essentially the selling point of this entire movie.
Let me guess. Jake
now,
wins.
Oh, wow. What a guess. Right. Now, similarly to Dalton, to Patrick Swayze's Dalton, he has a point where if you push him too far, his anger takes over. That's why he got kicked out of the UFC, because of something that happened there. That comes out again in this. So they took the basic trappings of this movie, and they call it a remake. One, really, William? I would call this more of a ripoff than a remake. Do you understand why?
It sounds like they wanted to, it sounds like they wanted to have Jake and Connor's abs fighting each other. And this was just a trapping to get that done.
Correct. Where they just wanted like a movie about a bouncer fighting a UFC fighter. So they just made it about that. And that's not what the original Roadhouse is about. And here's my thing. Just watch WrestleMania, William.
That's like, true. There's abs there.
This is it's the same thing, except WrestleMania is better. The storyline of Cody Rhodes trying to finish his story by winning the title his dad could never win by beating The Rock and Roman Reigns is more compelling than the Roadhouse story. I am literally giving this movie the lowest rating I can. Just no. Is there some fights? Yeah. Is the camera work pretty slick? Yeah, but there's... I could have watched a million better things.
So watch the original Roadhouse. That's your recommendation.
Yes. Don't watch Roadhouse. Watch the original Roadhouse. There have been some remakes, right? I will tell you all day, watch Cobra Kai over Karate Kid. Yeah. Sorry, William.
No, I don't know if that makes you mad. I think Cobra Kai is a wonderful television show. I say watch the modern Ocean's 11 over the original. The first Ocean's 11 is good.
I would agree with that as well. I would agree with that as well. There are plenty of remakes that are better than the original. This is not one of them. This is terrible. Don't watch it. Watch the original. All right, William, that's a movie that came out. Let's talk about some movies that are going to come out in Trailer Takedown. Usually I post the trailers in Discord on Saturdays, so you can watch them when you want. Before the episode, after you listen to the episode, or during. You watch a trailer, we talk about it. You watch a trailer, we talk about it.
Trailer Takedown. First trailer.
Unfrosted is a movie about breakfast companies by Jerry Seinfeld. I don't understand this trailer at all, William. Host Emeritus Daniel T. Richards shared this in our group text. I watched it. It's a litany of famous comedians. The best part for me was Bill Burr as JFK. I'd love to see that bit. But I really don't understand how this movie got made besides the fact that it's Jerry Seinfeld. Like, it seems like it's the invention of the Pop-Tart. So it's sort of like the Tetris movie or any of these other, you know, BlackBerry movies, these origin of products movies. But I don't know, I don't get this on any level. I hope somebody uses YouTube for what it's for and makes a cut of just Bill Burr as JFK so I can watch all those scenes without watching the movie. Otherwise,
tackle.
Yeah, I think this is just an extended skit. I sort of saw it as like Drunk History, right? Have you ever seen the Drunk History show on Comedy Central? Yeah, I see it as a Drunk History, right? And in that light, it looked funny. There were some funny parts, but I'm with you. I don't know what they're actually trying to do other than is this like an Office Space style, you know, made up history, sort of loosely based on facts.
But why about breakfast cereal companies?
It's Jerry Seinfeld. It's got to be about something random, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Normally, I am super skeptical of comedies. You know this, but even I am slightly interested in just what they're trying to do. I want to see this kind of like turning your not being able to turn away from a train wreck. So this, by definition, is one I would at least attempt on a Netflix and hug.
Netflix and hug.
And then you're gonna give
second.
Me. You're gonna hit it now, aren't you?
No, I gotta wait till you talk and then I do it.
Oh, okay. Well, I was gonna say, and then you're gonna give me the time
way
codes
to step on it,
for
Justin.
Bill Burr.
Okay, I just want the time codes for Bill Burr as JFK. Can you give me that
way to
when
step
you watch
on
this?
It, Justin?
Look, Bill Burr as JFK is very important. Stop it. Stop it.
Second trailer.
Fallout is an adaptation of the video game series that I have never played, and this is on Amazon Prime. Now, the reason I included this trailer, even though it's a few weeks old, is I saw like a smaller version of it, I think, on YouTube, or maybe we were watching something besides Roadhouse on Amazon Prime. I don't remember, but I saw it, and interestingly, all the stuff I saw in that was missing from this trailer. The other trailer I saw, William, had like really bad special effects.
Huh.
Like they showed like a Cyclops and it was really poorly done and everything. Now this trailer, I didn't realize this was by Jonathan Nolan. So I saw that, I was like, oh, that makes me more likely to see this. But then I watched the rest of it and it says it's like the apocalypse is not what it's used to be. So basically there are people living in fallout shelters since apparently there must have been a nuclear war. And then there are people who are living on the surface and somebody comes from the, I guess the vaults, I guess they call them vaulties. That's where Vault Boy came from. I've heard that in common vernacular in pop culture. But this is Vault Girl. And there's also a government, a black male government trooper who I assume she falls in love with. So there we go. We have a girl who's either white or Hispanic, although Hispanic is white, but that's a different discussion. Falling in love with a black male. I assume that's the main romantic thrust of this, of this series. But otherwise, I think Jonathan Nolan is doing the best job he can with the material, but I don't see anything novel about this material. And maybe you need to be a fan of the game to see this, to see that, but I didn't see anything in here that's going to make me, like, go out of my way to see this. This just seems like another post-apocalyptic show. So for me, this is a tackle.
Tackle.
That's unfortunate, Justin, because there's zombies in this. I think you would like this if it was done well. I think the plot, I don't want to do any spoilers, but the plot of Fallout as a story, this is back when first-person games actually had legitimately good stories with interesting twists. And I don't know how you do that in movie form, because the whole, I'm thinking of one particular Fallout game where your choices change the outcome of the game, right? And it's interesting, you know, how you discover the story was done really well in the early Fallouts. Do I think they can achieve something good? Maybe. I mean, we did it with Arcane, but that's kind of an outlier. I don't know. Can this be good? Will I watch it? I'm going to give this a try. I was a fan of Fallout. I will at least watch it and see. So I think this is a second one where it's a Netflix and hug.
Netflix and hug. Third trailer.
Bad Boys Ride or Die is the fourth movie in the Will Smith Martin Lawrence franchise. And this one, they seem to be pulled back in because of something that happened with, I assume, their old commanding officer is either accused of something or I don't really know. I mean, it looked like a typical Bad Boys movie. Confession, I haven't seen any of the other three, even though I'm a big Will Smith fan, at least his old work. So there's nothing that looked particularly bad about this. It's just that in order to watch this one, I'd have to watch the other three. So this is a tackle.
Tackle.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the Bad Boys. I don't really I mean, you know me. I like guns. I like explosions. I like action. This looks all, it looks like just a typical action movie, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but I don't know, man. Can we see actors that were born, you know, post 1990 in action movies? Have you noticed that it's only really old people in action movies now? What is even going on? There are other actors.
Are you setting up the next trailer?
There are other actors out there. So, I'm kind of sitting on the fence on this one, but to be honest, unless I see this on a plane or something, I'm not going to be watching this. I haven't seen any of the other ones. So tackle.
Tackle? Final trailer.
Darkness of Man is an action movie featuring the return of Jean-Claude Van Damme, where they refer to him in the movie as old man, and he goes around and kills people to protect a little Asian kid.
JCVD.
This is a really dark movie, and I don't mean it's like dark and like, this isn't John Wick dark, where like he's killing people in grotesque ways, right? This is dark and like, I can't fucking see what's going on in this trailer. It's like, they want the image of Jean-Claude Van Damme to still exist, but because he can't do as much, they just film it in darkness and let our minds fill in the blanks. I was not impressed by this trailer at all. Look, Jean-Claude Van Damme had some good movies, right? Bloodsport is an 80s classic, but it's just, no, there's nothing here. Tackle.
Yeah. This is the pinnacle of what I was talking about. The old man fighting. You know, there's a way to do old man fighting. You do it where they're smart and subtle and strategic and all those things. But I don't think that's what...
You mean the first couple Taken movies?
Yeah. I don't think you're going to do that with JCVD. His ego is too big. And maybe he's in tax trouble. Maybe that's why we're seeing more JCVD stuff. But no, thanks. I think I can watch other action movies and get my 80s action fix. Tackle.
So, William, I don't know if you noticed that I triggered the four tackle rule.
I did notice that. So.
So this is tough for me, right? Because first of all, we have Bill Burr as JFK.
Yeah.
Right. But is that worth watching an entire movie? Because that just might be one scene.
True.
Right. So I need you to give me the time codes.
All right.
Then we have Fallout, which it is Jonathan Nolan and it is a post-apocalyptic movie.
And it's got zombies. Then it's got all things you like.
Right. Then we have Bad Boys Ride or Die, which would give me a reason to watch the entire franchise of an action franchise of an actor I really like. And then I'm going to ignore the last one because there's no way I'm ever watching that movie. Right. So of those three, right, Fallout or Bad Boys Ride or Die? I really don't know. Because I think at some point in my life, I'd like to watch all the Bad Boys movies. So I'm going to say both of them.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
That's what I'm going to say.
All right.
Where I think I would give Fallout a chance. You know, I could do one or two episodes, you know, and then Bad Boys Ride or Die. I watched the entire Fast and the Furious franchise. I think I can watch the entire Bad Boys franchise, right?
Yeah.
All right, William. That brings us to the end of our trip into the midside. What did we learn?
I'm too old to star in action movies. Justin, what did you learn?
I learned that I need to start learning how to play Magic the Gathering or Pokemon, because if someone ever attacks me in public,
harasses.
I can just... Attacks or harasses, either
yeah.
or.
Yeah.
I can just play like a Jean-Claude Van Damme or Steven Seagal card,
yeah.
and I'll be protected. Or, you know what's even better? I can play a Roadhouse card, and I'll just say Roadhouse, and then someone will just roundhouse kick them in the face.
Nice.
All right, I want to thank everybody for listening. If it wasn't for you, this would just be me talking in the corner of my closet like a crazy person. I say the word just because it's still me doing that, but you just make me feel a little bit less crazy or make me seem a little bit less crazy. If you want to support us, you can go to themidside.com/store, pick up some of our merch, themidside.com/thecut. Pick up my novel, or you can go to themidside.com/Patreon, themidside.com/locals. That's how we keep the lights on. Or you can tell a friend who is either female or on the app Fountain. This concludes your journey into the midside. I'm Justin Emblesneski reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Roadhouse. Most to you, stay the course and fight. Think you're feeling it. Oh! I got some plans later. Hopefully, I'm feeling a little better. Some smoked meats for Easter. I don't know if that's traditional, but hey.
Nah, you got to eat lots of meat on Easter. We're going to a buffet, so I feel you.